Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, evening, whatever time it is that you're listening to this commentary watch. This is Carl from ISF, and today I'm joined with the co-host of the Sludge Pit, and it's very nice to have her. And say hello to Danae. Hi, Danae.
Hello to Danae. Oh.
Oh, God, they all do it. Give me a friggin' break.
It's an
good
old
Lord.
Joke, but we can't help it.
I know. It's so old, it's got rigor mortis, but that's okay. Anyway.
Happy 4th, everyone.
Absolutely, happy 4th. Okay, this is a very important holiday, and it's a nationalistic holiday, and what we look at, of course, is becoming a nation. And there are two movies that I always watch on July 4th or the weekend. One is 1776, which I watched last night. I love that musical. But the other one is Uncle Sam. And there's actually going to be a third one that I'm going to start watching every year. And we're going to talk about that at the end of the show because we're going to do a commentary watch on that on Tuesday. So today we are doing a show on the movie Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam was a movie that came out in 1996. It was directed by Bill Lustig of Maniac Cop fame and Maniac fame. It was written by the great Larry Cohen. This was their last project that they worked on together. There were some difficulties in the movie. And the movie itself is not a great movie. I'm going to be the first to admit that. But there's so much fun to it, and you have definite bits and pieces of the good old satiric humor of Larry Cohen. The action is well done. The kills are great. There's a couple of really great kills in this. But, you know, it's just one of those things that I always thought it was appropriate to watch this at July 4th, so I decided this year we were going to do it. So, Danae, you're familiar with the movie. Tell us a little bit about your, you know, how you got to know it.
Well, okay. I the first time I ever saw it, I rented it from our local video store. May they rest in peace. But actually, I read about it first in Fangoria magazine. I was an avid Fangoria reader, and I was always trying to get whatever movies they reviewed or did articles about. So I ended up renting it, and I loved it. Now, at the time that I... Now, when it comes to gore, it's not as gory as Friday the 13th or anything like that. But I was still a virgin when it came to, like, the real gory stuff. And to be honest with you, I kind of got a little offended the first time I saw it because I felt like it was, I don't know, anti-patriotic. And granted, I was raised in a conservative household, but not super conservative and not overly patriotic or anything like that. But I was young and I was new. But then I saw it two more times on the pay channels. And, you know, I had gotten over all that by then. And I just thought it was a roaring good time. And I like to watch, you know, I haven't watched it since then, but to me, it's not just a 4th of July movie. It's an all-the-time movie. So I appreciate you inviting me to this and reintroducing it to me. I'm probably going to end up owning it eventually.
Well, we'll see if it's out there. I think there's a DVD of it available. I have to check. I'm not sure about a Blu-ray. But this was a film that went directly to VHS. This did not, as far as I know, have a theatrical release. But nonetheless, it's certainly well worth it. Now, we're going to be using the version that is on YouTube. So are you set up with it? And if you need to look for it, it's look for Uncle Sam 1996.
And, the channel is Portia Wilderness.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Portia Wilderness.
You're welcome.
And it says full Uncle Sam movie. Okay. And I'm right at the beginning.
Me
okay?
too.
Okay. So let me just adjust my volume here a second. Okay, and we're going to do a countdown. We're going to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, that's how we're going to do it, just like we do it every time with our commentary watches. So if you're all ready, just
ready.
Go ahead, get ready, and here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Gable Productions presents.
Yep,
so,
got it.
Where's the other six?
Oh, nice. Nice. You know, I was thinking more of Clark, you know, getting a Clark bar for a little snack, but that's okay. We can go both ways on that joke. So... Now, if you don't forget, or you don't remember, actually, we actually were in Kuwait at this time. And the gentleman you see there is William Smith. William Smith was in almost every low-budget film. He was the star of Invasion of the Bee Girls, had a major role in Cronenberg's car movie, Fast Company. I mean, all over the place.
Grave of the Vampire, Police Women.
Yes, which I love, Grave of the Vampire. Of course,
me
to
too.
Me, I always think more of Michael Pataki there, but yeah. Okay.
He had a little
They're
too
all
much whiskey
wet,
and
so
cigarettes.
This is definitely like low budget. Where's the lights? Come on. Can't see a goddamn thing except the silhouette. Isn't it supposed to be lights, camera, action? I'm just saying.
Give me some more whiskey cigarettes, damn it.
Yeah, really. He's a dead soldier. Trust me on this.
Actually, undead. And yes, folks, mush death dude with the raspy voice is Mr. Smith himself.
Absolutely.
He did not last long for this movie. But they make it sound like he's a major star. That's what I look like in the morning without makeup.
You know, you talked about it a little bit that this is anti-patriotic. I think in many ways this is pro-soldier.
No, that's how I took it when I was younger. And no one told me this. That's just my own interpretation. But now I realize it is patriotic and it is pro-soldier. However, and once we get into the film, we find out what kind of person Sam was.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is the perfect example of the bigot. The over There's nothing wrong with patriotism. There's nothing wrong with nationalism.
But overzealous.
Yeah, he is the perfect example of the overzealous kind of patriot or nationalist. He's also very racist, very homophobic.
Yep. And Bo Hopkins. Bo Hopkins. I love Bo Hopkins.
Oh, I have had such a crush on him.
We're going to be doing, I'm not sure exactly when we're doing it, but one of the, we're going to get back to the 70s movies, and we're going to do the Nickel Ride. And if you have not seen the Nickel Ride and you have a crush on Bo Hopkins, you got to friggin' see the Nickel Ride.
I've never even heard of it, I don't think.
Wonderful film. 70s noir starring Jason Miller from The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah. I love Jason Miller. That's another actor I had a crush on. I was like, damn, why did Father Karras have to be hot? I was 12.
Good God. Well, you know, I was what? I was like 10 and watching The Avengers and Emma Peel. And Diana Rigg, trust me, she made my puberty so much more tolerable.
The new Avengers. Gareth Hunt. I forgot what Gareth. Oh, Gambit. Gambit. He played Gambit in the new
right.
Avengers with Joanna Lumley.
Mm-hmm. I go back a half generation to the real one with Steed and Peel, and actually Honor Blackman too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I watched both of them.
Okay, so it's July 4th, and we get introduced to the kid. Of course, you know there's a kid. There's always
actually,
a kid.
It's July 1st. They just said it was July 1st.
No, that's why I thought I said July 1st. But we are introduced to the kid. And the kid idolizes.
Ow! Ooh.
What?
I felt that. When he stepped on the glass, I felt that.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I'm a little behind you. By the way, just so you know, I ran into an ad. So I had to skip the ad, so I'm a little behind you. You might run into the same problem.
No, because I've got premium.
Oh, okay. You got premium. I don't.
Yeah. The only reason why I got premium is because I was tired of seeing three or four ads on a 10-minute video.
Yeah. Okay. I have to admit that the setup for this from here until... basically, the picnic is rather boring, shall we say?
Yeah, but we get a little bit of backstory. I never found it boring, to be honest.
Well, you know, I mean, they got to do the backstory. They got to introduce the kid. You know, I mean, most people want to go and see, like, if they do a horror movie, particularly from the 80s or 90s, they want the kills right away.
I used to, but now I'm like, the only time I ever get irritated is like, okay, it's supposed to be a slasher movie. It's been an hour. Why hasn't anybody died yet?
Yeah.
However, if it's got a good story, something to keep me engaged in the meantime, I can tolerate it. Brian, is that Brian Thompson? Or is that a statue?
Okay, again, I'm not set up. No, that's Bo Hopkins.
No, not him. There was a soldier in a uniform. I don't know if it was a statue or a real person. But it looked like Brian Thompson.
No idea. By the way, who is Brian Thompson?
You don't know who Brian Thompson is.
No,
not did you see Bright? Did you see Fright Night 2?
Years ago, I don't remember it.
He was the Renfield type character. Also, have you seen Dr. Mordred?
No.
Oh, okay. Did you ever watch that TV show called Kindred the Embraced?
Nope. Yeah.
I can't help you.
I don't know. It happened.
I can't help you then. Look
Nobody
him up on IMDb.
I'm beyond help.
That's
Bo Hawkins. That's what
that's
I said.
Bo
that's
Hawkins.
Bo Hawkins.
Yes, that's who it was. Wasn't Brian Thompson. It was Bo Hawkins. Hopkins. He's still handsome.
So he is the messenger. He tells her that he's dead.
He stood so still, I thought he was a statue there for a minute. And from the angle, he looked like Brian Thompson.
One of the things I've always liked about Bo Hopkins is that voice and that accent. He doesn't hide that accent at all, which I think is great.
One of the things I like about him is that he can go back and forth between playing a good guy and a bad guy
mm-hmm.
with ease.
I tell you, as far as bad guys are concerned, Butcher Baker, Nightmare Maker, he's the sheriff in there, and he's like a real son of a bitch.
No, that was Bo Swinson.
Oh, that was Bo Swinson. I get my
Bo. That was Bo Swinson.
You know, I've been married so many times, I get my Bo's mixed up. Sorry.
Da 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 da.
But you got to check out the Nickel Ride for Bo Hopkins. Seriously, after this, I'll get you the trailer to it.
Okay.
Directed by the same guy who did Summer of 42. Ooh, deli! It's a deli. No, it's not. What are those doing in a deli?
Deli?
I saw a sign.
Isaac
deli.
Hayes.
Okay, let me tell you something. This man doesn't even steal the movie. He just basically walks away with it.
Okay, I got to tell you something about him, okay? Because I feel the need to clear up a lie. All right, I'm not trying to cause any controversy, but there was a rumor that he left South Park when they started picking on Scientology.
Right.
His son has debunked that. At the time that rumor came about, he was very ill. He couldn't speak up for himself. So the church, Scientology, spread that rumor. But Isaac's son said that was not true. He said that he never would have quit, because they skewered everyone else. He
right.
said he never would have been a hypocrite. So I just wanted to clear the man's name.
Now, of course, I love the idea of the comic books here, too. You know, we're not talking, great artists there, but it's still pretty cool.
Reminds me of the comics I used to read.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I used
won't
to
talk
have
about
that
the
shirt.
That I read.
I used to have that shirt.
Oh, you mean the red and blue one that the kid is wearing?
Yeah, I also had green and black, blue and black.
Okay.
I had different variations.
So if you have red and black, then I should start calling you Freddy.
Call me what?
Freddy! Freddy Krueger!
Oh, Freddy! I thought you said, I'm going to call you Gray. I'm like, what?
No.
That doesn't mm-hmm. make Gray.
No, I said Freddy.
Welcome to prime time, bitch.
Yeah. Family dynamics. Okay. I'll tell you when to wake up, people. It's okay.
You know what I always found interesting? I always had to keep convincing myself that these two actresses were playing in-laws and not blood sisters because they look so much alike.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe it's the same goddamn actress. Seriously.
You know, the one that plays the sister, I know it's not her, but the one that plays the sister looks almost like Natasha Henstridge.
Yeah. No, you're right, actually.
Which reminds me, we ought to do Species sometime. I freaking love Species. Splice is another one I like.
I like Splice, too, also. I'm actually a Natalie fan. Vincenzo Natalie directed that film. Big fan of his. Cube, Haunter.
I've seen Cube. I liked Cube.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. One of the most influential Canadian films out there.
Well, I mean,
and now,
Cube is the only one of his I've seen besides Splice. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
I almost screwed up. I almost said I've seen Habitat, but Habitat was Renee Dalder, not Vincenzo
yeah,
Natale.
Which, by the way, I have the DVD of that, which is not easy to find.
Habitat?
Love Habitat. Okay, so here's your history lesson, by the way, just so if you didn't realize it. Yes, there were war protests in the 60s. Duh!
Yeah, there was. And some ran away to Canada. And this is going to sound controversial, but even though I am pro-soldier, I can see their point of view. Because I
absolutely
I don't believe in the draft.
Well, you know, you need to get better windows then.
Da 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 bump.
Yeah, I should just I'll need to put that into the studio. So
he's here every week. He's here five nights a week, folks, sometimes the weekends. Tip your weight staff.
Absolutely. So the interesting thing here is how he's a zombie. How did that happen? I don't think they ever really – it's been a while since I've seen this, but I don't think they clarify that at all.
Think they do evil, but my theory has always been a will to live. His will to live was too strong.
Okay.
Now,
I've
never understood why the hell they did that. Why didn't they keep him at a funeral home?
Yeah, really.
I mean,
you know why? Because otherwise the damn movie wouldn't work. That's why. Funny thing is, the movie that I'm planning to do on Tuesday is also about a funeral of a soldier.
What movie?
And his father tries. We're going to do a watch of Last Flag Flying. I'll explain that later. That's an Amazon original directed by Richard Linklater, and I'll talk about that after the movie's over.
Okay.
But you know, I love Hopkins, and he plays a good role here.
Yeah, he's a good guy here.
Mm-hmm.
I love the interactions between him and the kid.
Yes.
I don't remember, but do they ever say what happened to the kid's father?
I think it is mentioned, but I don't remember what it was. We'll have to see.
So why did they focus on him holding her hand? Are they trying to imply a romantic relationship or something?
No. He just took her hand, that's all.
Okay. Well, it's been a while. Well, see, I guess some people do that, but I was thinking, it's been a while. I don't remember if they ever explained why they brought the coffin there. I know, I don't think they're Orthodox Jews, or they don't even really seem religious.
No. Okay, guess what? The fingers are going to twitch. Maybe not then, but sooner or later.
Maybe he's not such a good guy.
That's a good role, though.
He doesn't ever actually try anything with her that I remember.
No, not at all.
But he is good to the kid. See, what I always wondered is why they put the coffin in her house instead of the sister-in-law's house. Because, I mean, they were still legally married.
What?
Or were they divorced?
I think they were separated.
He kind of resents the boyfriend, doesn't he?
Yep. Absolutely.
That's just funny. Ralph here, yeah, he just saw him. Now, I have a dumb question.
Okay.
I guess I should have done my research before we watched this, but I know there's a lot of movies. He mentioned Tax Shelter. That's what made me think of this. A lot of people go to Canada to make Tax Shelter films, but while it's filmed over there, they have it set in America. Is this one of those?
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time, particularly during the 70s. The Tax Shelter in Canada had changed by the time this was made.
Okay.
Now, I'm not sure. I can find out where this was filmed, so just give me a moment, and I can answer that. Okay.
I'm full. You didn't eat anything.
Not really. Filmed in California.
It was in California?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's filmed in Laverne, California. This was part of Apex. Apex was a company that specified specifically in direct-to-video.
I've heard the name before.
Mm-hmm. So here's the question. You know, of course, you being a this staff member, most boys played with war toys. Now, I didn't. I was never into that.
I did.
No G.I. Joes, anything like that. But, you know, that, you know, the idea of war toys, you know, being marketed and that sort of thing and glorifying war, of course, that was then brought up by another great satirist, which, of course, was Joe Dante and Small Soldiers.
Oh, I love Small Soldiers.
So do I.
No.
Love Small
Soldiers. I did. I had G.I. Joe. And when, of course, you got to take into account, when I was a kid,
right,
G.I. Joe was a man, not a team. So I had G.I. Joe and his buddies. I had those little plastic toy soldiers. Oh, yeah. I had toy guns. My sister and I played cowboys and Indians, cops and robbers.
Told you that the fingers were going to
switch, yeah. My only problem nowadays with toy guns is that they make them look so real.
Absolutely.
I mean, when we were kids, you could tell a big difference between a toy gun and a real one.
Right. By the way, nice fade from the coffin to the hat and the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And his face. Nice fade. Boy, did I hate, when I was a kid, dressing up in a suit. To this day, I don't like suits. Never have.
I've gone through a period right now where I don't like to wear dresses, but that's simply because, we won't go into it, but let's just say I don't think I look good in dresses right now, but I'm working on it.
Oh, I got to say something about Isaac Hayes. Now, of course, best known as a musician, the man wasn't a slouch as far as acting is concerned, as far as I'm concerned.
No, he was not.
Not at all. You know, and one of the better blaxploitation films is Truck Turner, and he's in that. And of course, you mentioned that he was Shep on South Park, and I love him. You know,
I really love him in, though? Oblivion.
What?
Oblivion.
Oh, yes.
We ought to do that one, too. Oblivion and its sequel, Backlash. So what do you wear to church if you don't wear suits?
Well, I have some really nice dress pants and really nice dress shirts. Mm-hmm. And a tie. I just don't do a jacket.
Our church is, you pretty much wear what you want. You've got some people that are real casual and some people that are real dressy.
Yeah, and personally, I think that's the way it should be. You know, whatever you feel like doing.
I mean, there for a fashion show.
Well, the one thing about the Episcopal Church is there are all the robes, or otherwise known as katas. And so I would always have an organist kata that I would wear and being part of the service. Now, that's not true in a Christian Science Church. So,
why I mean, granted, this has absolutely nothing to do with the movie, but you know how we always digress. Why do people dress up for funerals?
Out of respect. It's a show of respect. It's always a show of respect. It's also, excuse me, it's also sort of like a societal norm, particularly if you're of a certain age. But here he's really setting up his character. You know, I mean, really, you know, forget about killing. The way he really does this, he just takes this movie and just walks away with it.
Exactly.
Love his character.
And he's got a point because...
Absolutely.
He's kind of...
You know, and... Go ahead.
He's kind of lost the ideal. I mean... It's about protection. It's about defense. It's not about offense.
You know, and a lot of this, what you're hearing from the point of view of the screenwriter. Let's not forget Larry Cohen. Larry Cohen was one of the great satirists, and in terms of using horror movies as his way of critiquing society. Very much like George Romero and the zombie films. And,
oh,
and
yeah,
in
the
fact,
stuff. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But I was just going to say that Cohen actually has said in a couple of interviews that this particular movie was sort of his nod to Romero, making the monster a zombie and that. But he
mm-hmm.
wanted to make these political points about soldiers and how they're treated and what, you know, the military is definitely there for. He was very much along the liberal bent. But it all comes from him. And you take a look at, you mentioned The Stuff, which is his anti-commercialism film. And
yeah.
You mentioned Bone, which is about race relations. And all this stuff, just amazing stuff came out of his pen. And not just what he directed either.
Well, see, that's the thing about Cohen and Romero and Hooper is that they could do social commentary and yet still make a good film without shoving their message down your throat. Because for years, I didn't even know there was social commentary in Romero's films. I had to read interviews with him to figure it out.
I was 10 years old when Night of the Living Dead came out. I was probably about 12 when I first saw it.
I saw it.
I got it right away. And though he said he didn't mean to do that, you hire a black actor as your lead, of course there's going to be a point of view there.
Oh, yeah. Now, it wasn't intentional in Night of the Living Dead, but it sure the hell was intentional in Dawn of the Dead.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
In Day of the Dead.
Which is my favorite of the three. I will have to do this shout out to a very close friend of mine who passed away, Ralph Morello, who played Rickles. So we actually did a show with my former co-host with Steven, with Joe Pilato and Gary Clark, who just passed away. Joe passed away, and John Amplis, in memory of Ralph, who played Rickles. But so here we go. Now we're going to start, okay, which is a good thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have our cannon fodder.
Oh, yeah.
You want to see these guys die,
and you want to see them die brutally.
And you will. Trust us.
You know, this is going to sound crazy. I mean, I'm not afraid of death or anything like that, but I don't think I could be comfortable with a dead body in the house.
No. No, I tell you what, the funny thing is I've been an organist at so many funerals that, you know, I was at several funerals and pallbearers back in the day during AIDS that you get used to it. I also had a friend of mine who in high school whose family ran the local funeral home. So, you know, I mean, it's if you grow up with it or somehow get exposed to it at a certain level, then you're going to get used to it. But most people aren't, and that's quite understandable. Oh, he's around. Now, the one thing I will say about Sam Harper, and this, he is somewhat selective up until a point of who he kills.
Mm-hmm. That's what I never could figure out. Why is he pinning the medals to his bare skin?
Because it's a movie. They want a yuck factor.
Speaking of yuck factor.
Okay. Remember, I'm a little behind you, so. Now, this is somewhat uncomfortable. Yes.
Yeah, folks, that was his sister, not his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Who looks like she could still be in high school.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not the wife. She is still in high school.
Right.
Although the wife and the sister do both look really young. You know, I have a word of advice. Granted, it's not right to peep, but keep your curtains closed.
Yes.
Number one, don't peep. Number two, don't give someone an opportunity to peep. It's not victim shaming. It's common sense, right?
This is true. So, okay, how good
again,
is he on the stilts?
When you're that high up, you don't really expect anyone to peep on you. I mean, how often do you have people on stilts peeping in your window?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, that's... Oh, officer, I ran into a guy in stilts. He's fine, but the stilts are just destroyed.
Now, that takes some talent.
Oh, hell yeah.
I couldn't do that because my coordination is off and I hate heights.
Yeah, no way I could do that either. I have enough trouble walking on the ground at 6'2.5". Uh-oh. Okay, first kill.
Al?
Yep, that's an owl. That is definitely an owl. Oh.
I love that line.
Yeah. These three guys.
Okay, normally I get pissed when the kills are off camera, but I can't stand eye violence. When it's eye or genital violence, I can't look.
Mace.
Which means I'm about to die.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is actually rather tame for the gore, which I actually am okay with.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's classified as a slasher, but it's not your Friday the 13th type slasher where it's all about the kills. This is actually a story.
Right. Again, you know, lights, camera, action. Where the hell are the lights? Seriously.
Ow. Oh, that's another thing that gets me is when bones poke out of skin.
Yep.
I was cringing. There were a lot of scenes in the Suspiria remake that made me cringe because of that.
So just checking. Where are you now? Because he's getting buried alive.
He's in the grave, and he's trying to get out. And
right,
now
okay.
Sam's standing
I'm
over him.
I'm a little bit ahead of you now.
Now he's
I'm
being buried alive.
Right, okay.
Scenes like that also get to me because I am very claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm. So now
as
he's covered up
the
fact that he's alive and not dead.
Yeah, this guy I kind
dead.
Of feel sorry for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's at least the peeper guy got it quick.
Right. But you know
I
what?
Still
this
love that.
Goes through. Don't fuck around a cemetery in a horror movie. Just not a really good idea.
Don't do it.
I'm just saying. Don't do it.
Which, of
nice.
Course, this guy is going to ignore.
This is one of my favorites in the whole favorite kills. This is a great kill.
I
with the
still
music
like that
behind
line.
It, too. Taps. It's beautiful.
You know, when you hear the phrase, let's raise the flag and see who salutes, I don't think this is what they have in mind.
No, I don't think so either. Actually.
Again,
so right
I
now,
say the paper
right now,
dude got it easy.
Mm-hmm. Right now, we're sort of in generic territory. You know, but it gets a lot more crazy right now during the picnic. And the picnic, and at least you can see it now, too.
Well, also, you're going to get a lot more backstory between the relationships between Sam and his wife and Sam and his sister.
Right.
See, the nephew, the kid, has no idea what he has an idealized version of his uncle.
But that's not the reality by any means.
Right. And is it just me? Am I the only one that hates this guy?
No, I'm not fond of him either.
He didn't say, I'll be right back.
Lovely.
Although I don't think that's going to make any difference.
You know, I tell you what, Isaac Hayes is cool as hell. But Isaac Hayes and Shades is even better.
In what?
And Shades.
Oh, I haven't seen
Sunglasses.
That. Oh! I thought it was a movie called Shades.
No. No, not there, kid. Your uncle's already taken it.
No, I was like, you mean there's another movie to add to my ever-growing movie watch list?
Mm-hmm. I should have said Sunglasses, and then you would have gotten it. Oh, well.
Then again, Shade
okay.
does sound like a cool name for a movie.
Yeah. Okay, that woman in that dress.
Him.
Yeah. Now this is interesting too, because I like the kid in the wheelchair. And again, the way that he's presented is very positive. Rachel and I have been working on an idea of how handicapped people are presented in film.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Okay, now we have a Johnny Depp wannabe.
Why not? Overprotective parents.
I gotta
Mother
warn you, Carl. I'm about to cry on air.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Is that PJ Souls?
Yes. That is PJ Souls.
You know, she still looks the same to this day.
Yeah.
That woman does not age.
Now, there's a bunch of really good people in this. And they're not in it for long. We talked about William Smith. We talked about PJ Souls briefly. But just to give you Timothy Bottoms is in this. Who else? Hold on.
Wasn't Timothy Bottoms the one that just got killed?
Yep. Of course, Bo Hopkins, Isaac Hayes, PJ Souls. Robert Forster is in this too, by the way. I love Robert Forster. Now,
me
he
too.
And, he and Cohen
he passed
had,
recently.
About a year and a half ago. But he and Cohen had a major blowout during a film called Original God Told Me To. because he was originally cast in the Tony Bianco role. But he, Forster was a bit of an asshole, and he was fired from it.
Well, kid, you just signed your death warrant. Proudly we hail the twilight's last gleaming, but stripes and bright stars through the perilous
Okay, enough. By the way, Twilight's Last Gleaming, great anti-Vietnam war movie without any war footage at all.
Hey, I thought I did pretty good on the national anthem.
You know, I had a friend of mine who had cancer wiped away from her larynx, and I suggested that they suggested that she sing to recover, and I said, sing the national anthem and make sure that your lowest note is on say, because you go through 2.5 octaves. Now, that's funny you mentioned that, and I was talking to you beforehand. I'm sure a lot of our listeners don't realize that the Star Spangled Banner was an English drinking song. The tune was in England. So Francis Scott Key, who wrote the lyrics, had heard it during the war and thought that would be a good tune. And can you imagine a bunch of drunk English soldiers trying to sing that, you know, when Swain, like, oh, say, can, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Can you see?
Of course, they wouldn't use those words. I forget what the words are for the English.
Yeah,
drinking.
But I don't
There's
know what the
Forster.
Words are.
There's Robert Forster.
You need to see his last movie, The Wolf of Snow Hollow. It was so good.
I've heard nothing but good things about it. I love Robert Forster. Forster's one of the great underrated actors of all time. And if there's a movie I recommend for Forster to watch, Medium Cold. Medium Cold is brutal. It was filmed during the riots, the Democratic riots of '68 in Chicago. It's very, very, even today, it's very prescient. It's a great film. And he's absolutely fantastic in it.
I liked him in Alligator.
Oh, he's great in Alligator. I love the recurring joke of his hair. How's my hair? Does it look okay? Am I losing hair? Yeah, okay. Isaac Hayes got it. Isaac Hayes knows. Ooh, ribs. I'd eat those.
Those are not normal eyes.
Now, I think I'm a little above you now, a little ahead of you.
Well, you got the ads.
Right.
That's probably why. Ooh, I'm hungry now.
Yeah, really.
Haven't had some good ribs in a long time. Okay, we have Chekhov's meat cleaver here.
Yep.
She does not look happy.
No, she's not.
I was going to say, don't kill. What did she ever do, Sam?
Yeah, really. You ever do a sack race?
Nope. Oh, I think that's Chekhov's grill, too.
Yeah.
It's been a while, so I don't remember all of the kills. But it's just, they're setting up so many obvious weapons. I mean, I could just see somebody getting their face on the grill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice soundtrack.
Yeah, that's that. We get parties here. What can I tell you?
Well, what?
I thought you were talking about the soundtrack that I'm sort of hearing in the background of my neighbors.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the music on the movie.
Oh, yeah. Whoops. Down the hill.
Okay, not only are you an unpatriotic creep, you're also a bully.
Right.
And I got to tell you, as someone who has been bullied, I love movies where the bullies get theirs.
Oh, that's
a
friggin' movie. Same here.
I didn't have it as bad as some kids did, but man, kids are mean.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh, boy, does that taste good.
Now, how does it feel to be the helpless one? Where are you?
I'm now at Bottles Down with the sheriff and the sister.
Okay. You're ahead of me then.
Yeah.
The bully got his head whacked off.
Okay, I'm going to go back a little bit. Okay, so the bully got his head whacked off. Yeah, okay,
now
so I'm at the bully with the head. Okay, I'm now a little behind you, which is fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay, now I'm at Bottles Down.
Yeah, we're basically there. We're both there.
Well, somebody's paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Always in the background. By the way, we don't have much more of this, actually. We only have 20 minutes. That's one of the nice things about this movie is that it is, it does go by rather quickly. Ooh,
well,
popsicle.
That's the thing about Larry Cohen's films is that you can't really say that there are moments that drag where nothing happens.
Right.
Do you know what? I haven't seen a whole lot of his movies, but do you know what one of the weirdest ones I've ever seen is?
What?
God Told Me To.
Oh, well, I talked about that a little bit because Forster was cast in that and then was fired from it. I love God Told Me To.
Yeah, that's what made me think of God Told Me To. I didn't like it, to be honest. Oh, shit. Is it just me, or did you like Ralph? I didn't like Ralph.
No, I wasn't a fan of Ralph. Of course, the mayor is taking a basic page from the mayor from Jaws. Oh, we're going to go on with this. We're fine.
Yeah.
And by the way, Forster and Shades, awesome.
I preferred him without. He was another one of my man crushes, and I liked seeing his face. I don't know why I just said man crush. I only crush on men.
Yeah, I generally crush on women, though I do have a couple of man crushes.
Oh, I have a couple of women crushes. I just don't know why I used the term man crush when it came to Robert Forster, because, duh, that's what he is.
The nice thing is, if you ever see Medium Cole, you get to see him full frontal. I'm not joking.
Oh, wow. Oh.
In fact, when they were doing Jackie Brown, Tarantino ran Medium Cole for the cast and crew and basically said, hey, if you want to see Forster completely nude with his tallywhacker hanging out, come watch this.
That sounds like something he'd do.
Oh, he was very brave. The things
no,
that he
I
did.
No, I mean, that sounds like something that Tarantino would do.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a fan of Quentin Tarantino, sorry.
I think he certainly makes decent films. I'm not a fanboy. To this day, I think his best film is always going to be Jackie Brown. And that's his most atypical film. So here we get to some of the final backstory about Uncle Sam. Yeah, Uncle Sam is an asshole. So, of course, we're being quiet during this very, very special scene. It always reminded me of one of those special episodes of Family Ties or something like that. Oh, we're going to
oh,
talk
yeah.
about... Yeah.
The very special
yeah.
episode.
This is not... Now, I will be the first one to admit, this is not Cohen's best script by any means. Not
I
by a long
shot. I
don't
see anything wrong with it.
It sort of leads you by the short hairs. For me.
As a matter of fact, rewatching this, I don't understand why you said it wasn't a good film. Oh, no, you said it wasn't. Now, why did you kill her? All she did was smoke a joint.
Yeah. And there's your face to the grill.
I knew I remembered a face to the grill.
We had a little tragedy, but we're still partying.
Okay, did they, like I said, it's been a while since I've seen it, and I've only seen it two or three times. Did they ever explain what happened to the boy?
No, they never did. It was an accident, that's for sure. It said that it was an accident, but they never said what specifically happened.
Probably something to do with a firework, probably.
Yeah. Actually, I think you're right.
Yeah, I am a huge, huge slasher fan. So practically anything sharp or hot or blunt
is a weapon to me. Even things you would not think of. Oh, my God. He is just going all out, isn't he?
Forster's having a blast, and I mean the pun.
So, did he ever do his own stunts?
Yeah, he's done his own stunts before.
Do you know what I find amazing? This is something kind of off topic.
What?
Kane Hodder got burnt real bad in a fire stunt. Yet to this day, he still does them. Ouch.
Yeah.
Oh, not him. I liked him. Aww. Just don't hurt
the
children.
Yeah, now the kills are coming real quick, which makes the ending to this. I've always thought the ending was absolutely fantastic to this.
That kid, the kid in the wheelchair, looks familiar. I love that. I never said he wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to go over real well. My undead uncle is the one that's killing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's like going to the cops and telling your next door, telling them your next door neighbor is a vampire.
Right. I'm too old for this crap. How many times have you heard variations of that line?
A lot. Mainly from Danny Glover.
Yes. So Isaac is channeling his inner Danny Glover there.
I gotta tell you something.
What?
That man's voice, it's sexy even when he's describing something grim.
Oh, yeah.
It's great voice.
Him and Barry White have two of the best voices in rhythm and blues and soul. Seriously.
Yeah. Mm. Not just singing, but talking.
I'll tell you another one, too, is Leon Redbone. Leon Redbone has a voice.
I've heard him sing, but I've never heard him speak.
He has the same voice when he speaks.
I want to be seduced. I want a woman to take me out to dinner for two.
This is great. This is absolutely fantastic.
It looks like a can opener.
Yeah.
Oh, quit with the So he stole the sergeant's uniform.
Yeah.
We never saw him get killed.
No,
we
never did. There's actually an extra scene where you do see it. This is the cut version.
Oh, yeah, just leave her alone, why don't you? I'd be like, oh, hell no, I'm going with you. There's a maniac on the loose. And you want me to stay here by myself?
William Lustig specializes in maniacs. Trust me.
Well, I didn't mean to make a pun, but you're welcome.
And well, this is the thing. You hang around me, you do puns, you don't even realize it. Another great Robert Forster film is Vigilante, too.
So you're just going to leave the kid in the wheel, the blind kid in the wheelchair.
Yeah, really. As I said, there's a couple things here that just don't make sense.
Well, Ulysses, I don't know if he meant to. I mean, so far it hasn't been that bad, but I don't know if he meant to, but he has gotten kind of tropey. But, I mean, all in all, it's not so bad it's good. It's actually good. I mean, it does have some flaws.
Again, if I take a look at Cohen's films and his screenplays, things like what we talked about we talked about The Stuff, which I think is one of his great films. Bone is another one. But there's
a
number
of... I haven't seen it, though.
That's also available on YouTube. You can find Bone on YouTube. Yaphet Kotto.
It actually played on HBO, but I was too young to see it. And it's one of those movies that never interested me enough to sneak.
This is a great scene. Just die.
I don't think I ever did, you bastard.
Yeah.
He was practically blown up in Iraq.
Yeah.
You think a cannon's going to hurt him? I mean, Kuwait, not Iraq. Sorry. Who played Sam?
Okay, so I'm looking that up right now. Okay.
I also want to know who did the special effects because they're awesome.
Oh, the special effects are great, okay? David Shark Freilich played Sam. And I'm thinking, who did the special effects? There's the cast. The music, by the way, is by Mark Governor. Makeup is by Deborah Lee Davidson and Christine Steele, and the makeup is very good. Special effects. All sorts of people on the special effects. Joe Castro, Francois Delas, Josh Foster, John Hartigan, and visual effects by David Fred Masselant.
You don't see too many makeup effects artists that are women in the business. It's a shame.
No, that's true.
You know what? No one left you to die, dude.
Yeah.
You killed the guys that came to find you. No, I just blew up my sister's, my aunt's house, too.
Yep.
It ain't over yet.
Let's ramp up the tension here. Pyrotechnics.
Get up off the ground. That's another trap that annoys me. You're not injured. Get up. Get up.
He's not going to die. Don't worry about it.
I know. That just always annoys me. When they're crawling away and they're not injured.
Yeah.
I'm like, get up and run.
And they blow up a house. It's a wonderful thing.
Are you sure now? Are you sure he's gone?
That was awesome.
No, he blew up his house. Oh no.
Yeah.
He's burning his toys. See, when my sister and I played cops and robbers, well, of course when we played cops and robbers, there was a different line between good and bad. But when we played cowboys and Indians, we didn't specify which one was bad and which one was good, you know. We'd watch those old westerns on TV and we didn't really understand.
Oh, my dad was so much into westerns that if there was one on there on the TV, he would immediately turn it to it and I'd lose whatever I was watching. I hated westerns when I was growing up.
I didn't like Western movies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did they end it like that? I mean, he almost looks like he's possessed.
Yeah, well, that sort of gives you the idea.
Like Uncle
Sam. You know, there's Uncle Sam, too,
resides back
from the grave. And, of course, they don't have any end credits on this either, on this particular one. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it just cut off. And I know there is no sequel, but was there one even planned? How well did this do?
No, because there was so much trouble in between Cohen and Lustig on this film. It basically broke the relationship, which is unfortunate. I wasn't on the Bill Lustig podcast, but Stephen told me that I had asked him to what did he think of Larry Cohen? This was before Larry passed away. And he says, well, Larry is a very talented person, and that's all I'm going to say. So, you know, whatever happened, really broke the relationship. So they never worked together.
And Larry's never talked about it either?
Nope. Nope. That's one thing both of them have been relatively tight-lipped about. And, of course, Larry now has passed away, so he can't say anything anyway.
Well, as curious as I am to know, I do like the fact that they didn't badmouth each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It was certainly apparent that there was a break and they didn't care for each other. I mean, it's not like they didn't say, you know, I won't work with him anymore. He did some things that I didn't like, you know, or whatever.
I was trying to listen to you and pay attention to what was going on. What was the deal with Robert Forster and Larry Cohen?
Okay, so Robert Forster was hired to do God Told Me To, and there's actually footage of him doing it. But Forster decided that he wanted to chew gum during the whole thing. The idea was
now,
that
was
he was quitting smoking. Okay, hold on. I'm not done.
Was he supposed to be in Tony LaBianco's role?
Okay, I'm not done.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so Forster made this decision about his character, and Cohen didn't like it. And Cohen told him to stop it. Well, Forster wouldn't. And then, like, 3 days into shooting, he'd been warned a couple of times, and then Cohen fired him. And then hired LoBianco. Now, years later, Forster said that he was absolutely an asshole to Cohen. And actually, Forster reached out to Cohen and apologized and said, you know, I was an asshole. And so Cohen brought him back to do other roles, particularly in original gangsters in this film.
So they were
able to reconnect. So that's a good thing. But that's the story.
And I'm sorry I interrupted you 3 times while you were trying to tell me.
That's okay. So you were about to say something.
Well, you answered my question.
Oh, okay.
What I was rudely interrupting you with was he supposed to play Tony LoBianco's role? But then when I finally shut up and let you talk, you answered my question.
See, I actually know what I'm talking about once in a while. Not often, but once in a while.
That is, and you know what is so ironic? I hate it so bad when people talk over me, yet I find myself doing it, and I'm really trying to work on that habit, so I do apologize.
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to do it over the radio. We don't see each other, right? We're not doing this over Zoom. So to understand people's speech patterns and how they talk and when it's the time to come in, it takes a lot of practice. And to be honest, we've only done a couple of shows together, you and I. So, you know, that's not unusual. So don't worry about it. Anyway, so what's your final thoughts on Uncle Sam?
Well, I definitely am glad that I watched it again. Thank you for inviting me onto the podcast. It does have a few flaws, but it's not so bad. It's good. It's really a good film. And even, like, it's marketed as a slasher. But if you go into it expecting something like Friday the 13th or The Burning or Halloween, the Halloween sequels anyway, you're going to be disappointed because it's a lot more story-oriented. There is gore, but not a whole lot. What we do see, though, what kills we do see are awesome. So you can't go in expecting a generic slasher. If you are, you're going to be disappointed.
Well,
the acting is really good. The makeup effects are great.
It's a great story. If I can find it, I'm probably going to own it.
Well, the one thing is, if you're expecting a generic slasher movie and you see the name Larry Cohen attached to it, it's anything but fucking generic. Okay? It's not, because Larry always has a point of view. And it always comes through in his films. And that was one of the things I said at the beginning. For me, you have to understand, I am a Larry Cohen fanatic. I love the man. And I lived in New York in the 80s, and most of his films would get premieres on screens as opposed to going to VHS. So every Larry Cohen movie that came out in the 80s up until 87, I went and saw. So I saw, you know, I saw a lot of his lesser known films, and they're great films. And I love his sense of humor. I love his sense of satire. But this one is sort of mid-level for me. It's good, but it's not top-notch. And trust me, if it's good Cohen, it's well worth watching. Okay? And personally, I don't think there's a bad Larry Cohen film out there. But there are much better Larry Cohen films than this.
Sorry, I did it again. I've seen It's Alive. I've seen God Told Me To. I've seen The Stuff. And I've seen Q. And, of course, Uncle Sam. So I've seen 5 of his movies.
So you haven't seen any of the It's Alive sequels?
Yeah, but I didn't know he had anything to do with them.
He directed all and wrote all 3 of them.
Oh, okay. Now, I know anything to do with the crappy remake.
No, they paid him money. He does get a credit for original script, original idea, or characters based on.
I'm not an automatic remake hater, but that one was terrible.
But I got to say this: of the 3 It's Alive movies, the one you want to see of the sequels is number 3, Island of the Alive. It is batshit insane. It is beautiful.
Oh, I know. Oh my gosh.
It's beautiful. Fucking love that movie. And also Return to Salem's Lot, too, with Sam Fuller as, I ain't no fucking vampire hunter.
What?
I'm a
Larry Cohen
has
something to do
hunter.
With that one?
Yeah, that's Cohen.
Well, then that makes, okay. Then that makes 8 Larry Cohen movies I've seen then. Because I've seen the sequels to It's Alive, and I've seen A Return to Salem's Lot. So I've seen 8 of his films.
Okay, and also let's not forget that he had his start on TV. He did scripts for The Defenders, but some of the if you've ever seen any of the original The Invaders with Roy Finnis,
I haven't. I didn't watch The Defenders or The Invaders.
But he did that. He's done tons of TV over the years. And he did scripts for other directors, too. Did you ever see, what is the name of that? Now I can't remember the name of it. But he did Phone Booth. He wrote the Phone Booth, the script. Also Cellular. But my favorite is the one with James Woods and Brian Dennehy. That's a great script too, and I'm trying to remember what the name of it is.
Bestseller.
Yes, thank you. Bestseller. Bestseller is a Larry Cohen film, Larry Cohen script directed by John Flynn, and it is absolutely beautiful. It is a great film. Seriously, a great film.
And
so anyway,
R.I.P. Brian Dennehy.
Yes. one of his best roles too, that in FX and Belly of an Architect. But yeah, seriously. So right now we're going to go into cleanup mode here, and just give me a moment, and I'll go through stuff because we have a lot coming together. Okay, here momentarily. So let me get to the studio, which is right there. Let me get to the episodes. Okay, here we go. So now I have it in front of me, so I know everything that's happening. So as far as right now, what we're talking about is, okay, so this Tuesday we're going to be doing a watch of Last Flag Flying. Now, Last Flag Flying is a film that is actually a sequel. And it is a sequel to a movie that was directed by Hal Ashby in 1973 called The Last Detail. Now, that was released by Warner Brothers. And the original source novel was written by Daryl Ponickson. And Daryl Ponickson, years later, did a sequel novel called Last Flag Flying with the same characters. And the original, those characters were played by Jack Nicholson, Otis Young, and I can't think of his name right now, but he's the crazy one.
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid. Thank you. And so that was the original cast. Okay, years later, they made this in 2018, which is, you know, basically 45 years later. The three roles are done by Bryan Cranston, Steve Carell in the Randy Quaid role, and in the Otis Young role, Lawrence Fishburne. And basically, the Steve Carell, who is the Randy Quaid character, if you know the original film, he stole some money from a collection plate and was given 6 years in the brig because of it. The two characters, Jack Nicholson and Otis Young, basically take him to the brig, but during that weekend, you know, give him a weekend to remember. Okay, so now it's 25 years later, and this Steve Carell, his son has died in Afghanistan, and he tracks down the two of them to help him retrieve his son's body. And it's and though it sounds very, very bleak and sad, it's actually very funny, and Lawrence Fishburne just have so much chemistry. And same with Carell, even though Carell is in the more laid back role, you know, because he's into grief. But man, it's a great movie, and I really, really suggest everyone to watch it. I think it is a perfect film to finish up our July 4th celebrations. So we're going to be doing that. Okay. And then from there, now I have to get back to the screen. We're going to be doing on the 9th, we are doing, let's see, hold on. Adam has a show on the 9th, I think. No, he doesn't, actually. He does not. But on the 10th, Rachel and I will be doing a special show again on covers of songs that are better than the original. And we have a very special guest, a gentleman by the name of Tom Clark or T.C. Clark. And he's a very special guest for me because I've known Tom for nearly 50 years. We went to high school together. And we also went to college together. And boy, does he have some stories about me. And I've already okayed him to say one. So we're going to do that on the 10th. Then on the 12th, we have Joe Lansdell is coming back with us. Joe has a new novel out called Blood Moon, he also has a new documentary about him, The Popcorn King of East Texas, that's going to be premiered. So we're going to have him on the 13th. We have a gentleman by the name of Doug Stone. Doug Stone is a voiceover artist, and he is featured on the new Netflix series, Resident Evil. And then on the 14th, I'll be doing a special commentary watch of a film called A Dark Song. And we'll be doing that with hopefully Joe Badon, but also we've got a new special guest, someone that contacted me about this, John Killian. And John, it'll be nice to have John as a guest because he loves this movie and so do I. And it's one of the best religious horror films out there. It was made in 2017. It's an Irish film and was number three of my favorite films of that year. So it's a brilliant film, and you definitely want to watch that with us. And so we're going to be really, really busy. You know, we're going to be really busy. And then on the 16th, which is a week from this coming Friday, Adam's got a show on a British TV show called Friends of the North. So that's what we have planned. Plus, we also have some things that are going to happen here in late July that I'm not able to say anything about yet until we get it scheduled. So we're very, very busy. And Mr. Softy is here, by the way, if you can't hear. That happens around this time every day.
I do have something to announce. The Sludge Pit is going to be on a temporary hiatus. Not going to be very long, probably for maybe a couple weeks. Eric is dealing with some personal stuff right now, but we're not going away permanently. Like I said, he's got some personal stuff going on, so we're going to be giving him some space. In the meantime, I will be coming up with stuff to entertain y'all with. So.
And by the way, if you need a backup for Doc, you know who to call. Not a problem, my dear. Glad to help out.
Well, you know, I just might do that because that way we don't have dead air.
Exactly. God knows we don't want dead air. You know, we want it nice and fresh, actually. You know, I mean, Uncle Sam will smell. You know, it's not a really good thing. Anyway,
well,
I want to thank everybody. Go ahead. Finish up.
I do have some ideas that I'm working on that I think, you know, that hopefully our audience will like. I'm trying to introduce things that are not so mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yet are still available to the general public.
Good.
So
we've
got going on in our camp.
Good, good, good. Glad to hear it. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening and those people that will catch up with this during the week. We hope you've enjoyed our commentary watch of Uncle Sam. And we will definitely see you on Tuesday, okay, for Last Flag Flying. All right. I want to thank everybody and thank you, Danae, for being on today. And I just got to say, Rachel has had not a really good weekend. So, you know, keep her in your prayers. And I'll be talking to her later tonight, I'm sure. But anyway, thank you for listening. And
thank you, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Yes, I want to end the episode. There we go.